Hey, Meryl.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm good. How are you?
Okay. Oh, there's that one. Okay. Hello, Ellen.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Morning. I get to start my day with you, Cantor, and then end it with you by making pita.
Baking pita.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's
I haven't decided if I'm making it or watching.
Hello, everybody.
Well, since I've made pita before, but like trying to figure out how to do this all together should be, well, we will have an adventure together.
Well, your challah classes were always fun, so.
Well, absolutely. Thanks. Yeah. Well, thanks.
I guess I should look at the recipe and the ingredient list. I looked at it before. It seemed like I had everything, so.
The ingredients are not hard. I mean, only to
make. Right, that's what I thought. But...
To have tahina. But
I have that.
I was thinking about, I think I'm actually going to make two batches. I think I'm going to have a batch going before I start with you all. And then a batch that we'll make together, but I may, as we see how the time goes, having the second batch. So if we need to, I can show you how to make.
Right. Yeah.
Make it if yours aren't quite risen yet, because you don't want to rush it. So we'll see how
it looks. It looked like there was a lot of rising during the making.
It's not that much time. But you need to, but one of the things that I learned about it is you just have to let the gluten keep resting and then working it and then resting it. So that's why we're going to make tahina. So we do something with the
something in between. No, that sounds fun. How long do you expect the class to last? Because I have a meeting with Meryl after your class.
I tried to leave a cushion so that I wouldn't
conflict. I think an hour and a half.
Uh-oh, Meryl, I may be 15 minutes late.
That's okay. Big pita.
I'll give you my 1 minute summary right now. No, I can leave early.
Meryl, since I'm baking two batches, I'll give you some.
Oh, thank you.
I don't need 16 pita. That would be bad. I'd be happy to share. How is everybody else doing this morning?
Okay.
Yeah. Good.
Sun's out again.
Yes.
Yes.
It does make it a little easier.
I'm happy to be here and not driving somebody in a car somewhere.
Okay. You've been doing a lot of that?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I have.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Okay, well, let's start. People will come. It's okay. You're here. So the midah this week, if I have it right, the quality of our Omer counting, right? We're in the third week of the Omer. And we've been, if you've been or not, whichever, getting daily texts about daily reflections about the Omer. this period of counting between when we leave Egypt and when we arrive at Sinai, these 7 weeks. And, you know, the Omer period is, it's a lot of things. It's the harvest, but it's, right, it was our ancestral journey of leaving Egypt, which is Mitzrayim in Hebrew, heading toward freedom, because leaving slavery is not quite yet being free, and heading toward God's presence. And we parallel that with a present spiritual journey of trying to leave our Mitzrayim, our Egypt, but the same Hebrew word is Mitzar, is like tsar is a narrowness or a constriction. So Egypt is a physical place, it's an ancestral experience, and it's our own ongoing spiritual struggles of leaving the things that constrict us, of trying to find spaciousness and expansiveness in our own inner selves. And so this journey, as well as where, you know, trying to like leave that behind, and you notice, right, we do this every year, right, because we're not perfect, we are always in this process, and it's more, you know, it's a pendulum of ebb and flow. I kind of maybe like to think of life as a spiral, where hopefully we're as we go up the spiral, we're elevating up the spiral, not down the spiral, but we come around each time or periodically to like sort of the same kinds of experiences, but we're a little bit different, because it's not like hopefully not the same repeated things over and over again, but there's familiarity even when we are struggling once again. We've learned something, but then there's something more to learn or grow. And so we come around this spiral again, heading toward Shavuot, which represents the wisdom of Torah, the wisdom of our tradition revealed. And so we can, part of what we can even just more consciously do during this period of the Omer is just to be more aware of this particular part of our spiral, this particular part of our movement. And a practice of mindfulness, a breath practice, a sitting practice helps to refocus our breath, kind of calm our nervous system inside, and prepare ourselves to hear, to receive Torah, to take in all that we will encounter in the road ahead. And the marking of the Omer, or just the paying attention to this moment in time, to an idea of counting, not necessarily even counting towards something, but just acknowledging a marking time, help is what we're doing in mindfulness practice too, right? To note each day, to count each day as it arrives. We don't have to get to an ending, but just to be present in each moment as it arrives. And I wake up some mornings and think I just shouldn't read the news, right? Because the present moments in our lives in so many ways, if we can be pulled to just be noticing so much of our current circumstances that challenges our capacities to be present, to hear and to listen. And so that's what I was thinking about hearing and listening. That's where my thoughts are this week. We're going to be singing, hearing ourselves singing together this Shabbat evening. I'm constantly struggling with sound, with Zoom glitches, with audio glitches, and you know, I'm sure you are too, like when you're standing 6 feet apart from someone, you can't hear them as well, right? There's a mask, you can't read their lips anymore, you can't hear what they're saying anymore. It's made it like literally harder to hear one another. And then there's all of the stuff that is within each of us that is stressing us, that's confusing us. Sometimes when we can hear the words that someone is saying, right? It's either challenging to our worldview or so confusing, or we're stressed or distracted that, in our community, we actually do consciously spend so much time thinking about and trying to have meaningful conversations, because it's not easy. It's not easy to hear. And when our hearing and our capacity for hearing is diminished, our capacity for listening is diminished, that makes it hard also to hear like our own intuition and our own selves. And we are facing, you know, all kinds of complicated decisions in all of our lives in different ways, about for us, for our families, for our loved ones, what about what we should do right now and what we shouldn't do right now, and where we should go and where we shouldn't go, and how we spend outdoor time and indoor time, and where we do school and where we eat and where we don't eat, like things that we didn't think about before, that we didn't have to make conscious decisions about before. So the challenge to our spirit and this whole idea of like how we're hearing and how we're listening and how we're hearing ourselves and hearing others is what I've been thinking about in terms of our practice this week. Listening is a mitzvah. It's actually a Jewish commandment. There are two commandments that involve listening. Anybody know what either of them are? They both are ritual. And we do them as a community.
Wouldn't be the Shema, would be?
No, that's not a commandment. I mean, it's part of our liturgy, but there are two commandments. So in other words,
the shofar.
Very good. Asher kichanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu. So like commandments. So lishmoa kol shofar, to hear the voice of the, to hear the sound of the shofar. You know what the other one is?
Oh, would it be in the V'ahavta too?
No.
Okay.
It's the Megillah. It's Megillat Esther. We're supposed to hear the Megillah. So there's this beautiful passage in the Mishnah that talks about these two mitzvot of listening, of hearing. And it says, if you pass behind a synagogue, or if your house is connected to one, and you hear the sound of the shofar, or the voice of the Megillah being read, if you intend your heart, you've fulfilled the mitzvah. And if not, not. Mishnah's terse in its language. So in other words, even though they are both acts of listening, only in one case did you intend your heart. So this whole experience of listening isn't just hearing the words. Right? It's our kavanah, it's how we're intending ourselves, it's how we are paying attention to what we're hearing. Is it just sound, or are we really present? And so there's in our tradition, there's an experience of mindfulness, of attentiveness and presence that is a real part of listening. And you know, where we are in general, I mean, change no matter what is not an instant process. Even if external circumstances change radically on us, our internal change, we need time for change. Like imagine the experience of the Israelites in Egypt. Like sudden, there were some pretty big experiences there, but their inner experience of change still took time. We didn't just walk out of Egypt and show up at Mount Sinai. Like there has to be time, because sometimes we even get in our own way. So I wanted to do a little bit different practice of our sitting today. So I'm going to invite us to sit for some shorter periods, just to like let different things bubble up and see where we are. So first, just for a couple of minutes, I want you to just sit, invite you to sit comfortable, you know, sit where you are. Can leave your eyes open or closed, whatever's comfortable for you. Lower your gaze. And again, just noticing your breathing and allow that to sort of bring your first focus as the breath happens. We get in our own way too often, unintentionally. So what gets in your way of hearing? And how do you feel when you're not heard? Sort of let those two questions roll around and allow to arise what will arise. What gets in your way of hearing? How do you feel when you are not heard? What's one thing you might do less of to get in your way? Consider one shift you might make to lower a barrier to your hearing and listening.
I have hearing aids, and in the beginning of the pandemic, wearing a mask and eyeglasses and hearing aids was almost, I started to lose them, and they're tiny little guys. And I talked to my hearing doctor, and she said, a lot of people are losing them. So when I go out with my mask and my glasses, there's a lot behind my ears. I don't wear the hearing aids. And I find that it's not just talking to people, it's having them comprehend what you are saying and interpreting what your words are. And understanding, and then being able to reflect back. And whether it's the pharmacist trying to give you the right medicine, or whether it's somebody else that we haven't talked to too many people, but the Zoom is better because I'm talking with you and I'm hearing you and I'm seeing people whole faces, which helps me look at their lips and understand them. And I can also turn the volume up to make it comfortable for me. So I think it's frustrating when you're not heard. And I think you are happier when someone is comprehending what you're saying and interpreting what you are projecting with your voice and they interpreting in their mind. And that makes it feel better that you're having a conversation that is a two-way street.
Barbara, yeah.
The answer to like all the what gets in the way is clutter. So physical clutter, mental clutter, auditory clutter, just too much, I think, is what gets in the way all the time. I'm not good at cleaning up clutter.
It returns. We make space and then it returns. That's part of this work, is continuously rearranging, right? So the experience of listening, of being heard, of speaking is one that we all wrestle with. It's one that we wrestle with throughout the ages, that this practice can help us address, that we're seeing more of right now. You know, even Moses worried about it. When Moses is called to lead the Israelites of Egypt, he was worried that he says to God, the Israelites aren't going to listen to me, right? Or how are they going to understand me? And he worries a bunch about it. And in fact, they don't. In Exodus, when it's chapter... I think it's chapter 6. It says, "Velo shamu." They didn't hear him. They didn't listen. And then, and the sentence goes on, they didn't hear him. Why? Mikotzer ruach, it says. Mikotzer ruach. So kotzer, from the Hebrew word katsar, or short. Short. Ruach. Spirit or breath, right? It's one of the ways we speak about breath or wind, right? Mikotzer ruach. So like a short-windedness, a short breath, a short-spiritedness, right? That's what made it so hard for the Israelites to listen to Moses, to hear Moses, right? In a sense, a tightening of our spirit, right? It may be external clutter, but it's our own internal limitations. It goes back to the same idea of Mitzrayim, of this narrowness, of these constrictions that we have, that can make it so hard for us to hear, to absorb, to listen, to understand, to fulfill that intention when we are listening. I'm fascinated with the idea, like, right, that it could be the kotzer ruach, like literally like not having enough breath. So if we think about our practice, right, what sitting with our breath does, of how that can shift, how we can just notice where we are constricted in our bodies, because our bodies are a reflection of our spirits. Sometimes our bodies will be telling us things that we aren't paying attention to that are going on inside of our spirits. So we can when we notice and we can make those connections more between body and spirit, we can also feel more alert and alive, and more like we have a sense of agency in how we are acting. So the sense of like shortness of breath, shortness of spirit, impoverished spirit, the traditional commentators talk all about this phrase of kotzer ruach, meaning, you know, that perhaps the Israelites were, what other adjectives might we have, like anguished, distressed, afraid, narrow-minded, constricted, closed off, worn out. None of us are any of those right now, right? Reaching the end of our endurance, right? We resonate with that. And so when we are enslaved, when we're constricted, when we're in this tightened place, our breath is shallow, right? Think about experiences when you're feeling stress, just how that feels in our bodies, how our breathing is not full and deep and easy. And that our nishima, right? So I love connecting our words in Hebrew, right? So ruach, nishama are different ways of speaking about the soul and the breath. And a nishima is also a breath. So like when there's constriction in our physical self, there's constriction in our spiritual self. That doesn't mean it has to remain that way, but like until we recognize that, then we can try and sometimes in the noticing, in letting, we can let go of that grasping. So again, let's sit with our breath for a minute and just sort of notice where your breath is at right now. Is it flowing? Is it flowing? Is it moving? Are you struggling? Is it easy? Is it shallow? Is it deep? Do you feel places? Where do you feel places of constriction? Where don't you? Maybe it's all ease right now. Wherever your body is this morning is where it is. What if you notice a place of constriction, a physical constriction, or a spiritual constriction? Can you perhaps, with that kavana, with that intention, direct breath, direct sound, direct attention to that place, to allow it to ease, to open? As you continue with your breath, to notice where it might be shortened, where it might feel limited. The things that clutter, as Barbara said, our pursuits, our desires, our habits, can fill us in ways that block us. Can we use noticing our breath to make room differently? Noticing the quality of your breath. Noticing that in practice, can take a moment to shift how we are hearing things. When your spirit is kotzer ruach, when you are short-spirited, can you imagine stepping back into a place of breath that is easier? To turn your attention to the breath that could flow, to loosen your spirit. To allow your breath to nurture you. Rather than tighten you. The breath is steadfast. You may feel totally distracted right now. So I invite you again to return to your breath. Perhaps to notice again the points of contact of your body on a chair, under your legs, your back, your feet if they're on the floor. Your shoulders softened. Let them roll back into their support, to their supported sockets. Notice if you're holding your face tightness or shortness somewhere. Allow some softness to come into your face. Notice how your body is feeling in this moment. There's nothing you have to change. Simply allow yourself to be in your awareness. And when we do that, the sounds around us come into greater focus, greater definition. Continue to settle into your body. Just noticing the places of tension, sensations, ease or discomfort. It's not about controlling your internal experience. Rather just being with whatever is arising, be it pleasurable or painful, comfortable or uncomfortable. To recognize that is just a part of you in this moment. As you rest in the awareness of your body, you may notice emotions or thoughts that are arising. They may be valuable, they may be distracting. Just allow them to be. If it's a distraction, return to your breath. If it's some piece of wisdom, know that it will be there for you. So not thinking, just noticing and being. Continue to sense the connection with where your body is in space, places of pressure and contact. Places you feel grounded. Thoughts, concerns, distractions probably continue to arise, and that's normal. Our minds are always striving to grasp the past or the future, to comment on the present. The only truth in the present right now is this moment and is your body. So as those thoughts arise, just return to the awareness of your body. Rest back in that awareness without judgment. The breath that is not constricted as you allow it to flow. You might even get distracted by breathing. Should it be this way? Should it be that way? And instead, each breath is different. Each moment is different. The remarkable process of breath happening. Each moment that we are curious and attentive to our breath, we are training ourselves in that internal curiosity, that deep listening, opening our spirits. Connecting body and spirit. So this practice of mindfulness that we're expanding of different ways to sit, to become aware, to cultivate our own inner curiosity about what is arising, a looking without judgment, just to, like, that's what curiosity is, just to see what's happening. And as we just look and see, we can gain a better clarity of what is happening around us, of what is happening inside of us, of noticing how we are not disembodied spirits, but very much embodied human beings. And using all of that to our advantage, to create a wholeness in who we are, however our bodies and minds and spirits are in this moment, that is the gift of who we are in this moment. And rather than focusing on only on where we're not and the constrictions and the challenges and the short-spiritedness that tend to plague us, to allow ourselves to re-experience ourselves in the gift of what is each present moment, and to be able to hear a little bit, hear ourselves and hear others a little bit differently. Is my hope and wish for all of us this week. I wish you all a beautiful day, an upcoming sweet Shabbat, and a safe week ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Trees are blooming. It's nice outside. Maybe chilly, but it's nice. Sunny. Thank you.
Thank you very much.